Blog Talk Radio.
Nazim is the author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, a how-to manual for all those wanting permanent change in their lives. It is also a guide to virtually go back in time and eliminate all negative feelings associated with your past experiences that have caused any level of difficulty in your present life. Nazim has helped clients move from apathy to productivity, from codependency to loving themselves without attachment, from drug-addicted lifestyles to clean and sober positive examples, demonstrating what can be accomplished when one connects and stays connected to that which gives life. I am Dorothy Rashid, the co-host. Without any further ado, I bring to you Nazim Rashid.
Well, okay, fantastic. Well, it is another day in paradise. I am Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected. I want to welcome everybody here as we're based in our Phoenix, Arizona area in the good USA. And I would like to give a shout out to my friends in other parts of the world who have indicated that they have tuned into the show, like in Bangladesh, Germany, Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore, South Africa. We actually have two in South Africa so far. United Kingdom, Canada, Austria, and Australia. Yeah, fantastic. So it's wonderful. And I appreciate everybody's interest in the Reconnected Show. And we also love sharing and being a part of the positive movement that's going on around the world right now. Yes, yeah, so welcome all into our Paradise One studio where every day is a holiday, and the party never stops. Yay! All righty. Yes, yes, yes. Well, our studio audience is growing and growing and growing. And after a while, we'll start having to sell tickets so everybody can come in. All right. We always start with a nice welcoming, opening universal prayer to have our blessing for our program. And like I've always mentioned on this program, whatever name or reference fits your belief system will do just fine when I am mentioning God. Just know that we did not create ourselves, and in knowing this reality, we can give attention and honor the source of our creation for guidance and direction. I am using God as an universal theme and is not relegated to any particular religion or belief system. With the name of God, we thank you for the peaceful, passionate, and productive life you have created for us. Thank you for the unimaginable abilities you have placed within each and every one of us. Thank you for creating us for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. Thank you for giving us the ability to rise above our stresses and problems and come out a winner, matching the winning mode in which you have created us. Thank you for giving us the life that we thought was only a dream. Amen. All right. Now for our show notes, we have Dorothy. Take it away.
We all have experienced disappointment in our past, and some of us have not reconciled those issues. In order for us to travel wonderfully on our healthy path of life, we have to release all unnecessary baggage that is preventing us from going full speed ahead. This is what Nazim's book Reconnected and this program is designed to do. Let us hear from you as we learn together how discovering the needs of our child self can make a substantial difference in our lives. The long-awaited book Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, is available at www.cloudsofabundance.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, DIV Yogurt Shop in Scottsdale, Arizona, and my favorite health food store, Healthy Habits Health Food Store in Phoenix, Arizona. The chapters in the book and the themes of this Reconnected show are forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, codependency and addiction, recovery issues, identifying and managing emotions. You can connect with Nazim using his email address in our book club at gmail.com or his website www.cloudsofabundance.com. You'll find information such as life coaching, book signing dates, webinars, and workshops. All life coaching is done through your phone, so you can have sessions with Nazim wherever you may be in the world. Life coaching is about removing the obstacles and encouraging you to go beyond your perceived barriers to the accomplishment of your dreams and aspirations. Life coaching is about results now and creating the future you want versus counseling that spends a lot of time in healing the past. Healing the past is also important and something Nazim does with his books and book-related events. It's time to be reconnected and time for the new you.
Yes, it is time for the new you. Yes, it is time for the new you. Isn't that wonderful? When you see commercials on TV and they're talking about new and improved products for you, just ask yourself, what would the new and improved you look like, feel like? Experience that. Feel what that would feel like. Absolutely. All you have to do is ask yourself, what do you want to feel? Yes. What would feel good for you? Yes. What kind of you would you absolutely love to look at when you look in the mirror? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. All right, thank you for tuning into the Reconnected Show. This is a personal growth program designed with your inner peace in mind. Absolutely. Inner peace in mind. We don't do conflict on the Reconnected Show. Inner peace in mind. The discussions will be based directly or indirectly on the chapters in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This book contains a methodology for filling the many emotional voids experienced in childhood. You will learn to become a time traveler. Yes, yes, isn't that fun? Just think about that. A time traveler. Mm-hmm. Yes, traveling back to the time and place of your upbringing, becoming a senior advisor, next door friend of the family, and mentor to your child self, the self you once were. You will create the fictional character, the mentor, you, acting as the mentor to your child self. Imagine having sessions with the child. Remember, when I say child self, I'm talking about the little self you used to be, that 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old person that you used to be. Imagine having sessions with that little one as you address those negative events that you still carry with you and change the outcome to one of your desire. This way you will create real internal change in your life and be free of the negative effects of unresolved past issues already. Yes. Ooh, let me say that again. You will create real internal change in your life and be free. Free of the negative effects of unresolved past issues. Yes. Now, some of the other benefits of Reconnected. Parents who want new information for raising the best emotionally balanced children possible. Too many of our children, most, are not being raised in an emotionally balanced way. I have a 3-part parenting video on YouTube based on my book. Just go to YouTube.com and put in the search Reconnected, The Parent's Manual. Reconnected, The Parent's Manual. Other benefits, mentors who can appreciate additional tools. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 for their mentees. Real good for mentoring programs. Absolutely. And teachers who would share us more methods for shaping, motivating, and inspiring our students, reflecting the greatness that they already possess within. Yes, absolutely. More benefits. More benefits keep on coming. Couples wanting a better relationship can also benefit from the personal growth tools being offered, such as communication and listening skills. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that's important these days. Yeah, communication and listening skills. If you listen to the average conversation, you see that people are not respecting one another in a perspective. Mm-mm. All right, now more benefits. Those in recovery will benefit from Reconnected, as I have over 100 pages dedicated to addictions, codependency, and recovery in my 12 Principles of Recovery chapter and codependency chapter. This recovery program is not just for those afflicted with drug addictions. It is also beneficial to those suffering from anger abuse, compulsive disorders, overeating, gambling, sexual and controlling issues. Reconnected is also for any individual who wants to consciously connect to the higher self, to spirit, source energy, to God. See, more benefits. Benefits keep on coming. This is why when people ask me, who benefits from the Reconnected? I say, the whole world benefits. Everybody benefits. You see, now what I just read, you can find, you know, anybody that you might talk to or know, they'll fit in one of these categories. Yeah, absolutely. So everybody will benefit. That's why I call it a human manual. It's a multi-purpose manual. Parents manual, teachers manual, recovery manual, mentors manual, relationship manual. A human manual for the transformation of your negative experiences to positive memories. Loving yourself at deep levels and creating the life you've always desired. Now, you understand now when I say transformation of your negative experiences? When you go back in time and you change those negative experiences that you had then to positive memories, you can do all that. I call it the virtual experience. You're transforming that. Yes, yes, yes. And you find a way to love yourself at deep levels. A lot of us don't know ourselves. When I say ourselves, that self deep inside. All right, that higher self. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Appreciate that self, which is good, loving, kind, generous. Yes, creative. Love that self. Everybody has that self to love. Now, here's my statement to you. I'm committed to sharing practical tools with and supporting those who want and envision for themselves an abundant life, an empowered life, an independent thinking life, a spiritual life, a reconnected life. Well, all right. All right. Now, as you regulars know, we always do a happy news segment on our show. And we have a great one for you today. So with that in mind, at our international and national news desk, we have Dorothy again. Take it away, Dorothy. Yay!
Yay! Today's title of the article is 11-year-old is majoring in physics in Texas Christian University. And it's written by Diane Smith of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, published September 5th, 2013. Fort Worth, Texas. Carson Huey Yu has been admitted to Texas Christian University as an incoming freshman at only 11 years old. Around the time when most kids are playing with Jackson baseball cards, young Huey Yu will be taking university-level courses among teenagers and young adults. And it won't be just any class load. The boy who scored a 1770 on his SAT speaks Mandarin Chinese and plays the piano. He will be studying nothing less than quantum physics. In a nutshell, anything you try to do to be impressive after this will fail. Wait, let me read that again. In a nutshell, anything you try to do to be impressive after this will fail. Carson started college last month. One of the 1,935 first-year students tallied on the first day of classes at TCU. Like many college freshmen, Carson entered his new surroundings hoping to get good grades and make new friends. He also emphasized that he doesn't want to get lost on the TCU campus. Unlike most college freshmen, Carson is 11. "I'm studying physics," he said. "That's my major." Specifically, he wants to be a quantum physicist, but first he has to get through a first semester complete with calculus, physics, history, and religion. That's a typical course load for students majoring in physics at TCU. The youngest student attending TCU, Carson shrugs off the attention with a smile. He says he's used to it. He was 5 in the 8th grade. Oh, my God, 5 years old in the 8th grade. Anyway, he was 5 in the 8th grade. He graduated in May from the Accommodated Learning Academy in Grapevine, Texas, where he was co-valedictorian at age 10. "It was actually fun graduating," he said. Carson was reading chapter books by age 2, his mother, Clarella Huey Yu, said. "Numbers and math simply came easy for him," she said. "He speaks Mandarin Chinese." Carson has been starting his college days at 6:30 a.m. in his South Lake, Texas home, where his mother helps him and his younger brother, Kanan, 7, get ready each morning. Kanan also has an affinity for math and science and is testing at an 8th grade level, even though he is in the 2nd grade in South Lake, Huey Yu said. After dropping Kanan off at school, Huey Yu drives Carson to the TCU campus and helps him get around the campus. The 4'7", 75-pound tween often finds that his backpack is too heavy for him to carry far. "It weighs more than he does," Huey Yu said. Mother and son spent many hours trying to figure out which college Carson should attend. They considered several, but decided TCU was a good fit with a strong physics program. The school also gave Carson a scholarship and a financial aid package. C. Magnus L. Ritby, Senior Associate Dean for Administration and Graduate Programs in the College of Science and Engineering, said the school put together a group, Team Carson, if you will, of faculty and representatives from other areas of campus life to work out any issues related to having Carson on campus. Ritby said one issue was making sure Carson was fit and be comfortable in school labs. He was so connected with the undergraduate chemistry club, which met for the first time each week. Let me read that again. He was also connected with the Undergraduate Chemistry Club, which met for the first time this week. "We are trying to help make a good place for him here," Ritby said. Before Carson, TCU's youngest student was piano prodigy Sam Hong, who entered at 12 in 2006 and graduated in 2011 with a bachelor's degree in piano performance. "As it happens, Carson has been playing the piano for about 2.5 years, he said. He taught himself at first. "I'd actually heard about the piano in math," he said. "They can relate and coincide with each other. Carson has time to just be a kid. He is a Star Wars fan with episodes 3, 5, and 6 ranking high as favorites. He likes to play a video game called Minecraft, in which he builds things using only cubes. What about the other interests of a typical 11-year-old? I'm not really an athletic kind of guy, other than checkers and chess," he said with a grin. Word is spreading across campus about the 11-year-old physics major. And you can read more. That's the end of this article, but you can read more at www.facsi, that's S like Sam, A, C like Charlie, B, facsi.com, 2013/, and then it's kind of long. So I would just do a Google on 11-year-old is majoring in physics in Texas at Texas Christian University. This is so beautiful.
Wow. Wow. I hope everybody really heard that. Really heard that. You parents out there, when you have a child, you don't know. You have no idea what God has blessed you with. So you need to find out. What did God bless you with? And here, this woman here have two sons that were gifted from day one. They were gifted. And she realized that, and she's actually doing what she can to enhance it more so, to support them where they are, and to push them out there so they can be all that they're designed to be. And when I was mentioning earlier, I said we are created for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence in my universal prayer. Here you go. 11 years old in college. Man. Whew, God is good. Well, all right. Well, that shows you what is possible. You see, when you realize the greatness within, yes, you develop that and put it out there. Man, fantastic. Okay, today's theme, the Bhagavad Gita. I always got to take my time and say that. After a while, it will flow real smoothly, and I'm sure I will be taught well by our teacher today, Satya Kalra, the Bhagavad Gita in daily life, how to enhance the quality of life by applying the Gita's teachings. Now, this will be new for us on the Reconnected show today. Yeah. Now, we've heard a lot of spiritual teachers on our show, and we always, we only do positive things on the show, and we always invite those who have a different perspective so we can learn. Because as more we learn, more we learn more about ourselves. Yeah. With her new book, 108 Mantras to Awaken Your Soul, 3-time international best-selling author and spiritual coach, Satya Kalra will join us today with this phenomenal topic, and topic that many here in America are unfamiliar with. This is one of the reasons the Reconnected Show exists, to expose perspectives that many are unfamiliar with, and perspectives that will open our minds to new ways of thinking about ourselves and others. It is when we know more about other cultures, religions, spiritual paths, belief systems, traditions, that we grow and evolve ourselves. For it is not until we can feed off the tree of our neighbors that we discover a new taste bud we have always had, but we're not aware of. Ooh. Satya will address these areas. What is the Bhagavad Gita? What is the central message of the Bhagavad Gita? The purpose of life explained. That's a big one. Prosperity. Dharma. Yeah, I know if you, a lot of you tune into Dr. Wayne Dyer. He talked about Dharma a lot in The Shift and other presentations that he has recently. Mm-hmm. So we'll break that down more so today. God's self-realization, she'll talk about. And is a Bhagavad Gita just for Hindus? Yeah. And a lot of us are tuned to Deepak Chopra. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh, for sure. This is also his source. Is the Bhagavad Gita a religious book? How the Bhagavad Gita's teachings apply in today's modern world? That's a whole lot to chew. And, of course, you know, as you regulars know, if you can't finish it all today, we'll do another part to it. Oh, yes, we don't rush through anything. If your time runs out, we'll do another part. So make sure everybody gets it. And that's the most important thing that I insist on the show, that you get it. If we're going too fast, we'll slow it down. If time runs out, we'll do another part. We want folks to get it. And when they get it, that's when the light bulb comes on and change starts happening. Absolutely. Yeah. So I want everybody to understand that. We're here for you. Okay? So with that in mind, we're bringing Satya Kalra on the air. Satya, are you there?
Yes, I am. And thank you very much for bringing me back to your show. I thoroughly enjoyed your previous show. And I am honored to be back here. And namaste to you and your audience, who are my audience now as well.
Yes.
So namaste to everybody.
Oh, yes. You know what? You know, we love your message so much, especially what's going to happen today. I'm already seeing that you'll be one of our regulars, so I hope you don't mind that.
Oh, I love it. I was enjoying your prayers, and your initial introduction was so beautiful. It says all.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I believe in being inclusive, and I want to bring everybody into the circle. And this is so important. I'm so glad that we crossed paths because, you know, a lot of us have experienced teachers who have quoted from biblical perspectives, and they've done that here. And even though some have chosen a path that's not religious, so to speak, quote unquote, they still refer a lot of times to, you know, Bible quotes so often. And so I'm always open for another perspectives. You know, I've used, you know, Quranic quotes every, you know, a few times on the show. But idea that there's so many, like I talk about the fruits from the tree. You know, if all you had were apples and oranges only, if you know, and you kind of like that, and then you saw your neighbor had figs and had bananas, you say, you know what? You know, what does that taste like? Maybe I can just have a taste of that. I might like that. I don't know. Let me taste some of that. Wouldn't you be naturally curious to see what would that experience be like? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. I love it. I love your analogy. And you invited me to speak about Bhagavad Gita. But until now, what you have said, you have summarized Bhagavad Gita right here.
Really?
Everything what you spoke, I felt like somebody was paraphrasing Bhagavad Gita.
Really?
Yeah, all the teachings come from there because Bhagavad Gita is a step-by-step practical spiritual guide to the righteous living.
Hmm.
In fact, it is the art of righteous living. And why it is not a religious book? Because it does not talk about religions. Because religions are made by people. People are made by mind and ego.
Ah.
And therefore, my religion is better than yours.
Mm-hmm.
My way of thinking is better than you. My way of practicing my rituals are better than you because, as I said, it is made by mind, by ego, and that's the ego is speaking, not the spirit. The Supreme Spirit is speaking, and Gita is all about higher self, universal mind, supreme energy, whatever you want to name it, or you can call it God.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the Gita is. Gita is basically, it is a wisdom. We call it a timeless wisdom of course of ethics, morality, social laws. It teaches metaphysics, philosophy, and spirituality, and more so, how to practice in daily life so you can enjoy your life the most you can. And still you reach your purpose of life and reach your unlimited potential, which is experience that eternal happiness, peace, and blissful state, joy of life, or I call it Anandam.
And where did it come from, by the way? How did the Gita originate?
You know, actually, it is a part of epic Mahabharata. And it is there, actually, it is a beautiful story. A story of two brothers. There was one brother named Dhritarashtra, another brother called Pandu. And again, it originated from the family feud. There was a brother, Dhritarashtra, who was the eldest brother, who happened to be blind.
Mm-hmm.
And who could not be chosen or assigned a kingdom, a responsibility of the kingdom. So he was not made as a king. Although his younger brother, Pandu, who by default had to be made a king because he was physically more fitted. But he was younger brother. He was younger brother. So, according to the family system, the eldest brother supposed to be king, but here the eldest brother was blind. So, the youngest brother, by default, became the king. Now, the eldest brother, the elder brother, the Dhritarashtra, he was very unhappy. He was very jealous about the younger brother and very self-pity because he was blind and he could not become a king.
Oh.
So when he had his children, his eldest son named Duryodhana, he absorbed that jealousy, unhappiness from his father. And so he was very jealous. And it happened to be this world it's hard to believe, but Dhritarashtra, the blind guy, had 100 sons. They're all very wicked because they were made, they all absorbed the negative energy from the father, jealousy, discontentment, complaining, crying, feeling sorry. So they all became very wicked and they developed very too much jealousy toward the Pandu son who had happened to have a 5 son. And they were very nice five brothers. So now, these jealous 100 sons and 5 on the Pisces, here comes the jealous 100 wicked, and especially the Duryodhana, the eldest one, wanted to snatch all the kingdom from them. Because what happened during this time, Pandu was the eldest, the younger brother, he died. So by default, his son became the king. So Duryodhana was left out because his father was blind. So there now more jealousy. And now he is using all kind of crooked techniques to get that kingdom back from them. And he did. Okay. He succeeded. He did everything in his power and he succeeded. We call it, he did all the dharma. He practiced all the unethical things.
Oh, no.
And here, they tried to poison them, kill them, put their house on fire. I mean, he did everything. He finally, exile them from the kingdom. And here Pisces, five brothers were going through all that and following his instructions and just doing whatever he's telling them because they are the nice people.
Okay.
But finally, they said, so Duryodhana exiled these five brothers for 13 years and told them that when you come back after 13 years, I will return your kingdom. But when they came back, he said, no way I'm going to give you your kingdom back. You have to fight for it. You have to earn it. And here, brother said, we don't want to fight because what does fighting do? Fighting involves some killing, bloodshed.
Right, right.
Disharmony in the families. So finally, they said, they don't want to fight. And then they had this five pious brother had a divine company, which they didn't know it was divine, but later on they found out he was Lord Krishna.
Oh.
So they go to Krishna and say, Krishna, what should we do? And Krishna says, you are the warrior and Duryodhana is causing injustice not to you, but he was injustice to the whole population of the kingdom, to women. He was very womanizer. And so he was...
Oh.
He could... Yeah, so he and cheating and doing all kind of things. So he tells Arjuna that you are by birth, you are a warrior, you are born as a warrior, your dharma, your responsibility, your prescribed duty is to protect the society. And here it's not that you are going to fight for yourself, you are going to fight for the right of the people here. And Arjuna says, no, I don't want to fight. Finally, he said, okay, I will do that, you know. So then Lord Krishna, Duryodhana goes to Lord Krishna and Arjuna goes to Lord Krishna and they say, okay, we need your help. And Lord Krishna says, okay, look. I mean, they didn't know he was a Lord Krishna. So they say, Krishna said, okay, I have a conditions. Whether you take me or take my vast army. And Duryodhana said, I want an army. What am I going to do with your two-hand person? I don't need you. And Arjuna says, no, I need you. You are my friend. I need you. And you come on my side. And Lord Krishna was on Arjuna's side. But what happens now, everything is planned. They are ready to go and about to embark on the war. And when Arjuna sees his near and dear ones on the other side, and he freaks out.
Oh.
He says, what am I doing here? I'm going to kill all these people just for the kingdom? And that's where he says to Lord Krishna, I cannot fight, no matter what you tell me, because I'm not going to go through this bloodshed. And that's where Lord Krishna takes him to that depressed lower self where he could not think anymore because it attachment came for his family members. He could not see his responsibility, his duty, his dharma, what he's supposed to be doing to save his society from this wicked, injustice, a dharmic person. So he just, and that's where Lord Krishna uplifted him and took him from his lowest self to brought him back to his higher conscious level where he could see that who Arjuna is and what he's supposed to be doing. And that's the time Arjuna gave him this wisdom of Bhagavad Gita in the field of war, Kurukshetra. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I am right there. Yes, it sounds good.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, you are there. Yeah, that's where the birth, I say the rebirth of Bhagavad Gita came again. Because Lord Krishna explains that this, and then Arjuna, you know, he couldn't see who Lord Krishna is and all this. So this is a beautiful conversation between two friends, or we can say it's a dialogue between the higher self and the lower self, meaning the soul soul, the supreme soul, and the mind, because Arjuna went into his mind, ego status. He became very, very egoistic, and he says, I don't need this, I don't want this, I rather go on Himalayas and do my meditation, and I don't need this kingdom for this. So he was thinking that he was the one who was fighting, he was the one who was looking for the kingdom. So he put his mind into it, and he became kind of, his ego started talking. And Lord Krishna says, oh, you have to come up. So he lifted him from his lower self, where he forgot himself. He was doubting everything, to higher self, where he clearly saw who he was, what are his responsibilities, what are his dharmas, and how he has to go beyond his family dharma, individual dharma he has to fulfill, but he also has to fulfill the cosmic dharma, the universal dharma. And so his universal dharma is to protect the society, not just because of his own near and dear ones.
Yes.
And that's the time Bhagavad Gita, and it is about 5,000 years old, 5,000 plus years old.
Wow. Wow, I didn't know that. Now, yeah, is this something that anybody can buy and have in their library now?
Yes, actually, I have prepared a book, which is called My Question and God's Answers. And in that book, book is of 700 verses. And I have converted all these verses into question and answers, because it was a dialogue, Arjuna's questions, and Lord Krishna's answers. So I converted this book and made it a very user-friendly, very easy readable, with a lot of graphics and tables and question and answer format. So I made it a very simple roadmap, like a GPS, which takes you, and every chapter has in the beginning the overview of the chapter, the definitions of the words over there, what is dharma, what is a dharma. So those definitions are there. And then at the end of each chapter, it says lesson to learn and apply in daily life. And the book is available on Amazon, and it is a bestseller. And it is in the e-format as well as in the hardcover.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So now they can get that book that will explain the Gita in more of a user-friendly fashion, you're saying?
Very user-friendly. If you look at the comments there, somebody said it is a user, they call it Gita Made It Simple. And for your information, this book was used on UC Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley, in the course of ethics undergraduate class. I was a guest speaker, but the class, it was used. And then it became so popular, it was used in another university in California, in Marin County. And it's a Dominican university there. It's a woman university. And they use it for the similar class as well. And actually, this book is available in all the libraries of all the Ivy universities, like Columbia, Harvard, Stanford, you name it, Duke University. Every university has, almost every university has in their library.
You know, it's called the Guides. Say the title again.
It is called My Questions and God's Answers, Guide to Eternal Happiness, Peace, and Anandam. And it has beautiful poem. Like, it summarizes it. What is Gita? I'm just going to read it to you. It says Gita is a song of God, because Lord Krishna spoke to Arjuna in a very pleasant, soft voice. So it says, Gita is a song of God sung by Lord Krishna for us to sing every moment of our life.
Uh-huh.
So Gita is a royal road to liberation. It is the art of right living, Gita is a spiritual instruction manual to operate our life righteously. It is the answer to every question in the universe.
Wow.
Gita is a boat to cross the ocean of life. It is the ocean of knowledge. It is our divine company, and it is a peace ambassador. It is the universal mother. Mahatma Gandhi called Gita as his universal mother, his goddess. He said, every time I had a question, I would just open the book of Bhagavad Gita and find my answer. And that's what Gita teaches. Gita teaches how to live and how to die. Mahatma Gandhi knew how to live, and he never died, even though his body died, but he never died. He became so popular. His name, surprisingly, Gandhi's name starts with G, and God is with G as well.
Right.
So people worship him as a god because he gave the freedom, liberation, freedom to the country. Many people contributed, but he was a major contributor.
Yes. Yes. So the Bhagavad. So tell me, is the Gita a real big book? Is it a small book?
Actually, it is a big book. It has 700 verses.
Oh.
And yes, and my book is like 426 pages. It's all four, and I put a lot of graphic, and it's all four colors and a lot of visuals. So that's why it became a little bit thick here. But it makes it very simple, and the whole book is tailored towards self-improvement, self-purification, and self-transformation, which takes you to the self, ultimately self-realization.
Yes.
Who am I? Where did I come from? Where can I go back? How will I go back? And what is the purpose of my life? And how will I attain that purpose of life? Bhagavad Gita answers all those five basic questions. And not only that, it also answers our everyday of questions. Should I do this or not? What is dharma? What is adharma? Gita talks so beautifully, and I have it in my book, and it says, what is dharma? In very simple language, it says, respecting other is dharma, but insulting other is adharma. Loving other is dharma, but hating others is adharma. Sharing with others is dharma, but snatching from other is adharma. Anything against the law of existence, nature, is adharma. Excessive use of natural resources without concern for others is adharma. Laziness and idleness is adharma. Greed, not working towards self-realization, is adharma. Self-rejection and self-destruction, like suicide and all that, that is adharma. Hurting others is adharma.
Okay, so therefore, when you say the our dharma, that's actually against the dharma, you're saying.
Exactly, opposite dharma.
Okay, I got you, okay, so yeah,
So basically, loving others is dharma, and hating others is adharma.
I got you, sure. So, I see, surely, now we mentioned the purpose of life. That is such a broad topic, and a topic that a lot of people are lost in because they don't know what that is. They don't know their own purpose. Can we talk a little bit about that part, the purpose of life right there, and why we're here?
See, there are two purposes for a human being. One is the universal dharma or universal purpose, and the other one is my own individual purpose. My individual purpose is to make sure I take care of my family, take care of my children, also contribute to the society, and make sure I take care of my physical body, my health, my emotions. All that is my individual dharma, but also my universal dharma, which is related to personal dharma, is to realize why I am born, why God has sent me on this earth, not just for my own individual dharma to take care of my family and myself and my little town or community, but I must have a universal dharma to make sure I have a global vision and I contribute to the society and I work toward uplifting the society and uplifting others. So when I have enough money to support my children and send them to good schools and colleges, I should also think about the people who cannot afford that, and I should contribute in their life and in those children's life so they are educated and they can uplift their life also. So loving and caring, forgiving others, that is a part of my purpose of my life. So in Bhagavad Gita, actually, as I said, it is the roadmap to take us to our ultimate potential, to experience that happiness, peace, and joy, and blissfulness. That is the purpose of my life, not to just keep crying and complaining, enjoying my life on this earth the fullest. And also, when I am happy, then share that happiness with others, make this place a better place to live. So that is my purpose of my life. And Bhagavad Gita not only gives you only one path, it talks about major three paths there that we call it yogas. It's action yoga, karma yoga, love and compassion, and knowledge yoga. And I put it in a very simple way. And I say, do action with knowledge, with wisdom, with love and compassion. That is the karma yoga, or that is the action yoga, or that is my path. Because when I am a human being, I am working every moment, whether I am thinking or I am speaking, or I am talking, or if nothing else, at least I am breathing. That is action itself. So whatever I am doing, I have to be connected with that universal energy. That connection is so important within myself and with the universal mind or universal energy or higher self. Or God, you can name it God. But that connection is the key. When we are disconnected, that's why we cause all the injustice, nonsense, or you can call it a dharma. So what disconnects us from our being, our true being, who we are truly a Satchit Ananda. We are truly a pure, happy human being.
Yes.
What brings that unsatisfaction and miseries in our life? That is the disconnection from within myself. So connecting within myself, first I am connected, then I can connect with my sisters and brothers, and I can practice a brotherhood, sisterhood, and oneness, and I feel like I am a part of this whole universe. I am one with this universe. And I can experience that oneness, but first I have to be connected. The fundamental difference is connection and disconnection. And when there is a disconnection, we become very selfish. And when we are very selfish, we are very insecure, and our ego plays, and we want to have a better than everybody, we want to have a better titles than everybody, we want to have a bigger homes than everybody, because we want to express our insecurities and cover up with the ego and with this all the worldly possessions, which I call it. I have another beautiful book. It is called Prosperity Forever.
Ah, Yes. Let me ask you something about that. And I'm sorry, Satya, but in the Dharma, looking at that right there, when folks, you know, they can understand the general purpose of life, they can't, well, hopefully they can, I love that. But now when they look at the mirror, they say, well, what am I supposed to do here on earth? What is my mission? What is my Dharma? What is my contribution? And what can you respond to that kind of question?
You know, very simple. If there is a doctor, doctor's dharma is to make sure to take the best care of his patient. He can practice his dharma through healing his patients and taking good care of his patients emotionally and physically. And individual might not even have insurance. But his dharma is not to reject anybody. Not so he should not just be working for making money.
Yeah.
But he should be working to serve the humanity. That is his dharma. An engineer, if he's building the bridges and the roads, his dharma mm-hmm. is to make sure he does the best of the best. He puts the best of the best material to make the roads and also to provide the best engineering capabilities to build the bridges. So when people drive on those bridges and the bridges do not collapse, or even there are earthquakes, they should
right.
build it in such a way so they do not collapse. And so serving the society, because this universe is created by God and this
yes.
nature, and so serving the society, serving the universe is our dharma. So whatever our innate qualities or whatever my personality or temperament is, I should
mm-hmm.
be serving the universe with my temperament. I am a housewife. I'm a housewife. I should make sure I serve my family the best with the food. And when I make the food, I do the prayers. I do it with good attitude, like I'm going to serve everybody rather than resenting, oh, nobody helps me. I'm the only poor me. I'm the one who's working in the house and things like that. So her
yeah.
dharma is to be happy and bring the happiness to the family. And her husband, if he's working nowadays, it's very hard to find families where both husband and wife don't work. So if they both work, then their both dharma is to make sure they contribute to the family, and not because the wife is the one, because wife and she should be taking care of the house. Husband works outside, but when he comes home, then he's a husband. He's not the CEO of the company. His dharma is to be with his kids, with his family. If I am a CEO, I should make sure I bring the best product in the market. So my customers, or I come from a biotechnology industry, and I was a
yeah.
CEO of a diagnostic company.
Wow.
So my job was to make sure that I make the best diagnostic products and the diagnostic tests where my cancer patients do not get any false negative results. So if they have a cancer, the test should give them a positive cancer test. And if they do not have a cancer, then my
mm-hmm.
test should not give them a false negative result.
Mm.
And also my test should be so good then the doctor could prescribe a proper medicine.
Okay, I got you,
At the same time, I must make sure my employees are well taken care of it. They get proper time. They get proper emotional support. And they are happy. They are well paid. And they have proper vacations and proper system at place. So if one employee doesn't come, there is a backup plan. So I have to make sure that my employees are well taken care of it, and they are fully paid, so their families are well taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
That is my dharma. So dharma is not something you sit and go and practice on Himalayas, or you have to exclude yourself from the society. Whatever you are doing, wherever you are, you must follow your dharma. That was the basic fundamental teaching of Bhagavad Gita. That's where Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that you are in the war. You cannot run to Himalayas and do meditation and do your mantra and follow your dharma if that's what you think that your dharma is. No, you are born as a kshatriya, as a warrior. Your dharma is to protect the society. So you must do whatever is necessary here. Even that might include hurting your devious, crooked brother.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be so attached to your brother because he is your blood relation. He is causing all the turmoil in the society. What happens in the family if one person becomes the terrorist? You think the family's responsibility is to just keep that terrorist in the family and just nurture that his terrorism? Or they should teach him not to be a terrorist? Or if he has done the crime or murder and if he deserves the punishment, they should hang it, give him to the police.
Right,
that's
right, right.
That's what their dharma is.
Yeah,
otherwise,
yeah.
We set a wrong example because Bhagavad Gita also says we should be a mentor to the society. We should not set the wrong examples for the society. And that's what Lord Krishna was teaching Arjuna, that if you run away from the war, you are setting a wrong example for the whole society.
Ooh. All right. Satya, right there, I want to put a little pause, even though we've got a small amount of time. We have someone with a question that's on the board that wants to ask you a question, okay? So
okay.
Here we go. We got Dr. Applewhite's on the air right now with a question with Satya Kalra. Dr. Apple, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes. And Dr. Applewhite. 480. Okay, she was there. Dr. Applewhite, are you there?
I'm sorry. Here I am. Yes, thank you so much, Dean. And thank you so much, Satya Kadira. Am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, it is fine.
Yes.
Thank you.
A wonderful, wonderful show you presented today. And I just have one thing to share with you. I'm a Jung enthusiast. I believe a lot of what Carl Jung wrote about self-realization and many others, including Maslow, on self-actualization. And one of the things that I teach my students on a continual basis for over 35 years is that the realization of self is so important because it's the only way we can realize God. So thank you for validating that.
And I'm so glad you said 35 years. We must be twin sisters because that's what I have been doing for 35 years.
Yes, I work with students with disabilities and veterans with disabilities. I help them to get to school, our organization.
Wonderful.
White Apple Institute, and we have the student to teacher radio show that Nazim Rashid has been very, very much a part of and serves on the board for White Apple Institute. So we appreciate him so much. And
I'm so glad, and you can email me at satya@pathtoanandam.org, and we can communicate. And when you email me, I can give you my personal phone number so we can also talk about it more. And if you have any questions or any other thing I can do for your organization, because Path to Anandam organization does two things. One, we teach and help people to connect within through meditation, through one-to-one counseling, group counseling, workshops. But at the same time, we also support the causes, humanity causes. So if there is any cause, and cause could be anywhere in the universe, and all of my books are donated for the causes. So whatever the donation books are, I mean, the money comes for the books or anything, they all go for the causes.
Wow.
So anything we do, we in Path to Anandam, we support the causes as well as we try to bring the happiness. It says Path to Anandam. Anandam is joy, eternal happiness, peace, joy. So we teach people how to be happy.
Yes.
And whether it is a physical situation or emotional situation, we help them out. We are not the doctors, so we refer, I mean, basically the physicians are on their own. They have their own role, and they have a very important role, so we refer them to that, or they have their own medical system. At the same time, when it comes to emotional, we do help them, and I am personally, I'm a coach, self-transformational, woman empowerment, and happiness coach.
Wow. Thank you so much, and I really want to close with both you and Nazim and all the listeners out there to continue supporting the work of Reconnected, Nazim's book, and also the work that both of us are doing through White Apple Institute. And most important, Satya, to say to you, namaste. Namaste.
Namaste.
The
namaste.
God within me recognizes the God within you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You explained the beautiful way of meaning of namaste.
Yes.
My namaste
wow.
to you. Thank you.
Wow, fantastic. You know, I think what, Satya, what you're doing, you're really opening up a lot of minds right now, because folks have, even they felt this way before with the various things you're talking about, purpose of life and what we're here to do, they haven't heard it in this particular fashion, and so this is very good for information. And also with the Reconnected Show having the capacity to go back and hear messages over and over and over, and it doesn't cost anything. People can go on Reconnected, you know, on a show here. They can not only hear the message over and over and over, but you can actually download these messages to your own hard drive and burn your own CDs.
Ooh.
And have it and ride around in your car and have this happening on a regular basis, even have your own library. So sometimes when you're listening to messages like this, sometimes we don't hear the message or the real point on a first or second hearing. We say we like that, but I can't really remember what she said, or I didn't hear it, or maybe the accent was a little too thick or something. But then when you hear it several times, you say, "Oh, now I got it," you know. Cause, and that's okay. It's kind of like, you know, that old analogy of a old seed and underneath old dry dirt, and the first rainfall doesn't get to that seed. You see. But after rain is there for a while and the water sits there for a long while, the water slowly seeps down to that seed, that old dormant seed you thought was dead. And when that seed gets that moisture, it starts, life starts and it sprouts and it starts right there. And so our minds are the same way. We don't get the point the first time a lot of times, but that's why with repeated listenings, you know, and study and reflection and meditation too, we get it. And that's why this Reconnected show is here. So it will give you the capacity to hear this on your own terms. That's why when you download it and you burn your CDs, you have it on your iPod, you have it on your hard drive, you can listen to it at your own convenience. And then after a while, oh, you say to yourself, now I got it. Now I see what she was saying. Now I can really use this tool to improve my life and be a catalyst to change or help to change others' lives. And then when you start becoming a major factor in others' lives, now you're connected. Now you're connected to your higher source. Now you're actually living your Dharma, and now you can see why you're here in the first place. Satya,
wow.
Did I get that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Yes.
All right. Everybody there?
Yeah, wonderful. That
okay.
was great.
Okay, and so that's where we are there. And so Satya, we come to the end of this particular show, but you know, we're not done, because you know there's other parts that we want to talk about, and I already see a part two here. I kind of felt that anyway in the beginning, because then we want to talk about the God self realization. We're going to talk about the even though you said that the Gita is not just for Hindus, for everybody, but I wanted to go more into how the average person can really benefit more so. And you can even quote from your book, you know, you're talking about. Matter of fact, speaking of your book, I always like to spend just a little bit of time talking about your products. So again, tell us about your latest book and where people can get that.
Okay. My latest book is 108 Mantras to Awaken Your Soul. And basically, these are 128 verses I have chosen from Bhagavad Gita, which have helped me to transform my life, because there were 700 verses and it was hard for me to, you know, read every day. But what happened while I was reading, the verses which really helped me to transform myself, I would take that verse, recite it or put it in my pocket, and it helped me every way of my life. So I have chosen those verses and use as, that's why it is called 108 Mantras to Awaken Your Soul. It really brought awareness in me, and I start living in totally in awareness. In other words, I was not living and doing the things in ignorance. I would be aware of it. Why am I doing it? What is it going to help me? Why should I do this? Why should I not do this? To start answering the questions, and it brought a lot of awareness within myself. So that book really helps. And again, as I said, my question and God's answer.
Mm-hmm.
That is the guide. And very first question in that book is it possible to live in today's world in peace and joy, free from the miseries of life, anxiety, stress, fear, and frustration? And the answer is yes. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita is a vehicle that takes us from miseries and pains to eternal happiness. And it is spoken by God himself. It's not written by anybody else.
All right.
God, I was so blessed. God chose me to simplify this book and make sure that I can bring awareness and share my wisdom, knowledge with this beautiful wisdom of Bhagavad Gita. And the other thing you mentioned, and you asked the question, is Bhagavad Gita only for Hindus? In whole Bhagavad Gita, there is no name of Hindu religion. In fact, Hindu religion is only came during the freedom of India. Because the people who came from that side of the river, the name of the river was Hindu. So when it came on this side, those people were known as Hindu. But there was no religion of Hindu. So this is for the universe, this is the universal wisdom. It is a, that's why it is called the timeless wisdom, and it has been translated in almost every language of the for every country. And
mm-hmm.
So it is not just, it is, and being practiced, like Martin Luther King.
Yes.
He was not a Hindu.
Yes.
He was practicing it. So people, a lot of people who, even in USA now, you look at it, how many people start reading Bhagavad Gita and start practicing it, because it is not just for the Hindus. Because it doesn't even talk about Hinduism. It talks about, as I mentioned, that it talks about codes of ethics, morality, metaphysics, philosophy, how to practice the goodness in life, and how to be good with others.
Mm-hmm.
And it explains, I mean, I can just say, you know, you ask a beautiful question, how do people know what is my dharma? And what is self-realization? And this little poem answers that, that the, my righteous action is my dharma, and being happy and spreading the happiness to others is my duty or my dharma. Developing forgiveness, love, compassion, sharing, expressing gratitude, all those virtues is my duty, my dharma. Thinking good. Not thinking bad things. Seeing goodness in other people. Speaking nice words to other people and not abusing them. Eating good food, like not just putting myself with whatever comes to a junk food. I should eat healthy food. It's my duty toward my body, my dharma toward my body. And also doing selfless service. I always tell people, try to do at least once a month, go to some homeless shelter or some places where you offer some of your services, do not expect anything in return. That is my dharma too. And taking care of my responsibilities. If my responsibility is to send my son or daughter to college, I must take care of that. If I don't, I will feel guilty, I will feel unsatisfied, and that unsatisfaction will do a lot of toxins in my system. And a lot of toxins will do the work and eat up my system. My DNA will get mutant, my genes will get mutant. I will develop all kind of diseases like cancer and asthma, you name it. And so it is very, very important to take care of my responsibilities and attain full satisfaction. And also do some exercises, some pranayama, breathing exercises, prayers is very, very important, meditation, and then God realization or self realization is my dharma. That is my ultimate dharma. So being at peace and taking this world, a peaceful place to live,
all right, now, Sadi, right there, I want to say, because, like, right, you know, we're going to something I want to do on part two, so I don't want to tell everything now. This is very good, but I want to do more of that and go into more depth on the next part two of this. So I want to just, if you can, explain to people how they can get in touch with your website and how they can actually get your materials.
My website's address is www.pathtoanandam, P as a Peter, A as a Apple, T as a Tom, H as a Henry, P as a Tom, O as a Orange, A as a Apple, N as a Nancy, A as a Apple, N as a Nancy, D as a David, A as a Apple, M as a Mary, .org. And my books are available on Amazon.com as well as they are available on our website.
Mm-hmm.
All the downloads, yeah. And as I said, we support the causes. So our current cause is, I don't know you are aware of it or not, there was a big flood disaster in June in India, where almost 100,000 people have lost their lives and homes.
Wow.
So whatever the proceeds from these books, right now we are giving 100% to these causes and buying the clothes and food and shelters, helping with the shelters. And we have adopted a one village in India. So where we are rebuilding the village with the schools and roads and providing the shelters to people. So whatever generosity humanity can offer, everything is appreciable. And of course, they can also get the books in return. And they can go, if anybody wants to donate, they can go to my website and there is a donate button and it says you can pay by sending the check or by paying to PayPal. So whatever way people, their heart is, it has to come from their heart.
All right.
No pressure and no constraints, but it must come from their heart, because we are looking for connecting with heart to heart. If nothing else, sit down and pray for people in the universe.
Very good. Yeah, very good. And we got to stop right there because I know our time clock is running out for sure now, even though I'm on overtime. It's okay. But tell you what, I appreciate that. And so I want everybody to tune in next week. We'll always have a very good show. And we will have Satya come back. Make sure to check the calendar and go to my NR book club at dmail.com to get on my list if you're not there already. And I'll make sure you'll know that way. And we'll have her back for our part two of the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, we thank Satya. Thank you, Satya. And I want everybody also to tune in to the Student to Teacher show, which comes on the hour before my show with Dr. Apple White there. and for sure. So make sure you tune in to her show too. So in that case, we'll tell everybody to see us next time, and we'll see you guys. So Satya, thank you very much. We'll talk off there. Thank you, Satya. You did an excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back to your show. And again, namaste. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace for my mind, peace for my body, and peace for the whole universe. May God bless the whole universe. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, too. All right. Thank you, guys.